This week's episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to thecommentist.com and clicking on the banner.
This is going to be the conversation. Sean, blah, 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 but kind of, you know, shit. Blah, 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 shit.
Mario Kart, shit. No.
Look, this system is great. Are you going to buy it? Probably not. But it's going to be, it's great, though. It's really great.
Is Rob going to buy it? Probably.
Nerds, welcome to episode 105 of The Unwind, a show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills. So our previous episode, we did our kind of prediction show, and
Turns out, Rob was right about everything. Look at that. It only took 1 week.
Well, we kind of shifted it to, you know, what are we most excited about, and what are you hopeful for?
Because we suck at predictions.
Yeah, well, clearly. I mean, It basically boils down to we want things before they're going to happen because the real world, it takes a long time for things to happen. So I kind of forgot.
Also, Miss Cleo died, and that was pretty much
we're not the visionaries we thought we were.
Call me now.
You can still call that number. Somebody picks up.
Really?
It's great.
No, how do you know that?
We totally
it's
believe
it. It's just
that.
Sean in an accent.
It's that Bacon. Guy from Shenmue.
And it's, you say Rasta, beer can.
Rasta Bob or whatever.
Yeah.
So
Tom,
anyhow.
Tom.
Rasta Bob. I like that better, though. Our new characters, Rasta Bob.
I don't have
Bob.
Dreads anymore. You can't say that.
Sean is Miss Cleo and Rob is random white guy number two.
Rob is not Rasta Bob, really.
So I bring that show up because I kind of forgot to mention this prediction / wish / excited thing for. So, and that is, I was hopeful that there would be more A-class games from, or games from A-class developers that are traditionally developing for consoles or maybe even PC. PC would be hard to get, like a PC game, unless it's 5-6 years old, like Star Wars or Knights of the Old Republic. But the idea was to get some of these story developers like Capcom and Nintendo and some stuff from Sega maybe to make games for iOS and Android, like not just ports. Mm-hmm. And so it's not quite there, but just a couple weeks into the new year, Nintendo did announce that they're going to bring Fire Emblem Heroes 2.
Oh, is it Heroes? I think it's a different one.
Heroes 2?
It's like a subtitle. It's Fire Emblem Heroes.
You're right. Heroes.
Fire Emblem
Warriors is the other one. Sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Got it.
Heroes 2. And it's a tactical... it's kind of a tactical game. So I think it is a port, but it's just cool and exciting to see more of this stuff, more of these titles and that sort of thing coming to iOS. I still hope eventually that they make new original games with touch in mind, but this one allegedly is really touch heavy anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, this definitely Nintendo kind of told us this is going to be the strategy with their partnership with DNA some year ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And it clearly seems like, especially with Super Mario Run, it's going to be part of their strategy going forward. I don't see yet, though, a situation in which literally like DS quality, quality might be the wrong word, but those kind of games make it onto smartphones until... It's probably Apple, until somebody gets behind a controller, some kind of controller, because I still don't think the input is good enough. Like, apparently, Mega Man 1 through 6 came out on the on smartphones recently, and they're terrible, because you have to use the touchscreen analog joysticks. So, games like Heroes work perfectly, because they're like, it's a tactical RPG, you can play that without needing, I guess, precise input in that way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, so number one, there are some pretty good controllers made by SteelSeries and stuff like that. But the issue is you have to carry this controller on top of your phone, and it's, you know, it's nice and ergonomic, but ergonomic doesn't necessarily fit in your pocket, right? So,
you haven't tried putting a PS4 controller in your pocket.
Yeah, that's what you'd be doing, right? So that's part of the problem, but you know, I'm really saying focus on the low-hanging fruit, the things that can very easily be touch menus and even maybe made better by touch menus rather than tabbing left and right with a controller. Like, you know, yeah, something like very tactical, like Advance Wars. I don't know if you ever played that.
I know what you're talking about. I never played it. Though.
You know, some of those where instead of like toggling through a menu, down, 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 left, right, right, whatever, just tap the menu.
A lot of Final Fantasy games would fit pretty well. Like,
exactly. And most of them have been ports. They've made a couple, like they they rebooted them. I think Final Fantasy III, the Crystal Saga or whatever, they redid that completely. And they did it with an art style that was, I think, appropriate, right? You know, big-headed anime
style.
Oh, I
do remember this.
Instead of sprites. But some of them still use sprites as ports, and that I don't really care for so much. But if you make them, like, relatively medium-res polygons and stuff like that and kind of stylize them, it's fine, and it works really well.
Yeah, I agree, as long as it's playable on the controllers you have.
Yeah. All right, so just wanted to bring that up, mention that forgotten prediction, and it's already coming true, so go ahead and give me a point for that.
Nice. Oh, yeah, what happened to our point system?
And that's a good point. I win.
That so never happens.
Points, ever.
Let's dive into our quickfire topics, and this first one is maybe a prediction. I don't know. There's some noise going around on the internets that Zuckerberg might be setting himself up for a presidential run. Nobody has said, there's nothing explicitly that he's done to say specifically president, but right, he is doing some things that suggest that he might be interested in running for office. And so, you know, he's been doing these New Year resolutions for a while now. Like the one time he said, I'm just going to eat things that I kill myself. And you don't remember this?
No.
Yeah, this was like 2-3 years ago. He's like, I'm only going to slaughter my own meat. I'll only eat meat that I slaughter
That's
myself.
So random.
He's probably paying other people to bring meat to him, and then he just kills it.
Yeah.
Hold it down.
No, exactly. He didn't say he was going hunting for everything. He just said, I'm only
like
going
Raider
to eat
style
meat
he comes
that I
back
slaughter.
3 weeks
so
later.
He'd buy a sheep, and he'd slaughter it at his house. And
wow.
Skin it and
that's interesting.
That's hardcore.
So that was a resolution a couple years back. He said learning Chinese a few years back, and he's been working on that for a while. So this year he said he's going to at least 30 different states. And so if anything, that might be the suggestion that he's running for a national office, not a state office or something like that. The other thing is, as people look through the paperwork that he filed a little while ago with his wife to kind of make this foundation that they set up.
Where they're going to cure all disease?
Yeah, pretty much, and eventually become president, because it restructured the stock or something like that, where he could hold public office for up to 2 years and still have primary control over Facebook.
Huh.
So it's already set up that, like, if he enacts that clause, it'll go into something similar to a blind trust or whatever for 2 years that he can continue running the company.
So back to my prediction of VR last year, this is how Oculus gets in every house.
Oh, is this going to be a requirement after he becomes president?
Yeah, instead of a turkey,
house, is going to be like FDR.
Oculus in every house.
Maybe this is what he means. He's not actually going for the regular presidency. He's going for the VR presidency. There's a new VR world.
Yeah.
This will be interesting. I don't know if there's going to be a secretary of social media that's going to come up. I don't know. I mean, how many national offices are there? Outside of something like that.
Yeah, you know, it might be that he'd be interested in like doing something in a presidential cabinet or something like that. And a lot of times, I don't want to say all the time, but it's not unusual for somebody to do that for 2 years and then get replaced during that president's term. So like that happens regularly. It's not a rule that it should happen, but it happens regularly. He would be, I think, turning 36, so I think you have to be 35.
It'd be interesting to see, especially I don't know him. I'm going to
what?
Guess
you don't
he's
know, you don't know Mark.
Well, I mean, I knew him a couple
Facebook?
Years back. We haven't texted in a while.
No, he's not like Tom on Facebook. Yeah, MySpace.
MySpace.
And so I assume he's liberal. I don't know. I have a feeling it's going to clash with the current administration. I don't know how that affects things. Obviously, that he could do this in enough years that it would be a different president.
Yeah.
Or and just as one side note, I will say one interesting thing about Zuckerberg, and he's not the only one, I would say. Why can't I think of his name? Twitter, Jack Dorsey, a couple of these CEOs. For them to be as good at being CEO as they are at their age, I think him coming up with the idea of Facebook, you can see somebody young figuring that out. And I don't think the initial stages of Facebook were that technically advanced. But for him to keep Facebook going as popular as it is, he must have been doing something good at the helm, which speaks to his ability at least to manage in some capacity. I will say, like, you know, you see all these tech CEOs and they're so young. And what amazes me more is that the fact that they can be the founder and then they can actually turn it into something that is real, not just I'm the founder. Like Palmer Luckey, I think, is a much less integral part of Oculus than he was when on year one.
Mm-hmm.
So that shows he might, you know.
Yeah, to that end, though, it doesn't always transfer. I mean, I'm not even going to talk about Trump, like how you transfer business prowess to political prowess.
True.
But the thing about it not transferring is that when you're a CEO, there's a structure in your company, and you set the culture, you set the expectations, and you have hiring and firing power, et cetera. You're in control very clearly. Our government, by design, is not set up that way. It has three separate branches, et cetera. You know, if Zuckerberg wanted funding to be allocated to some top secret project to do research, or if he wanted funding to come available to buy some other company, if he needed to raise funds and stock or investors or whatever to do that, he could get that done in his company. It's not a guarantee in a government. So
that's a good point. Going
back to his other resolution of the whole AI and the House thing, I think that was last year's, right? Maybe he's prepping himself to be the first artificial intelligent president. So it's just going to be an AI of himself that he throws in the White House, and he still manages Facebook. So legally, he can still run Facebook.
Our Skynet future is that close. Yeah. Like, you know,
we're here.
We went from like Alexa to that way AI too quickly. It's weird how we go from the first black president to Trump to AI. Like, we just shit just went downhill after. I don't know. Everything went crazy.
Next is a giant hippo going to be president. Whatever.
Ooh. Yeah.
Hippo for president. 2025-6.
Quick official vote. Would you vote for Zuckerberg for president?
Quick official vote? What does that
mean? It's official vote, and it doesn't matter that we don't know any of his platforms or anything that he's doing. This is the important vote,
like,
right?
So
now,
in 4 years, when I go to vote, they're going to be like, oh no, you already said on that podcast you're voting for Zuckerberg.
That's legally binding. This is how the Electoral College works. Apparently you didn't study history.
And one vote for Zuckerberg from Josiah Hills. Yeah, so I don't know. Obviously, it depends on who else is running and what the landscape is. But I think as you already stated, Sean, he has very impressive skill set. Obviously, he's very passionate about Facebook, and there's different structures in place for him to get the work done. But I see him as a very driven person, and when he puts his mind to it, he accomplishes pretty amazing things within his experience so far. So who's to say that he couldn't do something at the government level? But, you know, I don't want to be one of these people who says one thing for one candidate and another thing for another. So I will say I would like to see him have some other government experience before he goes straight for president.
I mean, clearly all you need now to become president is a good social media presence, and he is the social
media.
So wait, how hilarious would it be if he turns out to be the new head of the NSA? Like, surprise!
We have all your shit.
And then they say, what kind of experience do you have? Well, we've been doing it for 10 years. Oh, shit. Damn it. Google Plus, they've been the sneaky ones the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Zuckerberg, did you see that segue?
That was good. That's a good one.
There has been. I like how you have to point out every time you have a good segue.
I actually just thought about it now. I was like, oh my gosh, is a segue opening up for me? I have to
Zuckerberg and ZeniMax. They both start with Z.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
Zebras. Let's go on.
It's better than that.
ZeniMax, for those who don't know, ZeniMax is a, I guess you could say, media company. They own id Software. They own a couple other, I think they own Raven. They own a couple of game studios. John Carmack used to work for ZeniMax because he worked for id.
Elder Scrolls Online?
Yeah, Skyrim.
Bethesda.
Skyrim.
Yeah, I think they do. Yeah. Yeah, like ZeniMax isn't a name you know because I don't think they always put their name on things, but you probably know the companies
like
own.
A holding company, not the publisher.
Yeah, and ZeniMax is like, oh God, such a terrible name in that it sounds like a corporate, yeah, I work for ZeniMax. But anyway, John Carmack worked for id, so he also was a ZeniMax employee. And there's an ongoing lawsuit over they're suing Oculus, saying that Carmack actually took a lot of trade secrets because they argue that he was building a lot of VR and things like that on ZeniMax computers, on ZeniMax time, taking ZeniMax lunches. They have like Intel lines. They say it. But so the argument was, so when Paul Merlucky came to Carmack to, solicit help, or when they started working together, John Carmack started working on that while he was at ZeniMax. Carmack obviously says that he did it outside of his time, his working time. He did it on as a side project. All of this stuff is important because if a lot of ZeniMax, I guess, IP or something related to that was... did happen while Carmack was still an employee, this could lead into how much money they get from the Oculus purchase, yeah. Because this all bleeds into it, and that's what they're figuring out. And
yeah, I think they're suing for whatever Oculus got bought for.
$2 billion.
They're suing for the exact amount that Oculus got bought for.
Which, there are a lot of things to break out of this. First of all, one interesting thing you said, Rob, I mean, maybe it's not a big deal considering how tech companies go now, but initially it was thought that Oculus was a $1 billion company, but apparently Zuckerberg was on stand and he said it was $3 billion. Yeah, so they bought it for $2 billion, and then there was $1 billion in terms of like extra bonuses and to keep staff on.
Things, yeah.
So a total of a $3 billion purchase. So it's funny at this point, you're like, it's $3 billion. It's not WhatsApp, which was, but that's
Trello, which was,
yeah, seriously.
That's half a billion.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. That's right.
It's half
an
extreme. Chump change.
But one thing, I guess my favorite thing, it's terrible, but my favorite thing about any court case is that you start finding out stuff that you aren't really supposed to know. Stuff in discovery comes out.
Paul Merlucky owns a suit and shoes.
Oh, yeah.
That was the biggest takeaway for me in this whole thing.
I
didn't see a picture of it, though. I got to find it.
Well, I don't think... Can you take pictures in the courtroom?
Well, walking in. In the courtroom? Like, he wore his Hawaiian shirt and sandals to the room?
You're only going
to
get courtroom sketches. You're going to get sketches of him in a pink tie. But there are a lot of interesting things to look at. So one thing, well, I guess you just brought up Paul Merlucky. I think the ongoing story of the way Oculus happened was that, I mean, and you can see how this is far-fetched, but there's always some idea that there was basically some kid who just wanted VR to work. He built a couple headsets and it turned into, through the help of other people, turned into this thing that is VR, where it's a real product nowadays. And I'm interested to see how this trial, because ZeniMax has made a statement earlier that Paul Merlucky had very little to do with what Oculus came out with, and he was more, let's put him up as a poster child and build this story up, which is exactly what people like to believe. So it'll be interesting to see how much he was actually involved. I do know, like, the first three iterations of the Rift, like, he really did make the initial Rift. He built it with, he put the lenses in, he had the basic tracking and stuff like that. So Paul Merlucky, it's not like he's just some random kid they found.
No, I guess there was also, like, he was using different sensors, like, manufacturers who were coming up with the materials for the prototypes he made were different from what Carmack was using at ZeniMax. That's what their defense, part of their defense.
And, you know, it's one of those things where when I first heard this story, I think there are a lot of people who feel like, oh, they're just trying to get their money because they know Oculus got bought for a lot of money. Facebook's got a lot of cash. Let's see if we can get a piece of that. But I will say, if this was legitimately a product that ZeniMax was working on, or some Carmack was working under ZeniMax, I can understand why they're so serious about going forward. Admittedly, this trial is still ongoing, but it's a pretty big deal considering how big the two companies are, and you start. I mean, it's always interesting when you have people like Zuckerberg on the stand in court, because it's people who don't normally go to court. And it's not, it doesn't seem like a trial that's going to, you know, it's at trial. They didn't settle, presumably probably because ZeniMax wanted as much money as possible. But it's going to be interesting as this trial goes on, and a lot of little things are trickling out. But I wonder how this changes the Genesis story of Oculus. I also think it's interesting that HTC and Valve were able to put out a VR system so quickly. They must have been working on that previously. Yeah. It just seems funny that they happen to coincide, sort of. But it'll be interesting to see who ends up coming out and how much ZeniMax can actually get out of this. Because Carmack has been pretty staunch in his defense that he wasn't doing you know, in this time. And there's also interesting things, like there was a quote where they asked, ZeniMax's lawyers asked Zuckerberg, it's like, so you bought Oculus on you were planning on buying Oculus on Friday, you were going to do due diligence on over the weekend, and then you were going to do the official buy on Monday. Basically, there was no due diligence, because he actually said he had never heard of ZeniMax, which is kind of funny, because they're not a tiny company. And I understand, though, there's a number of degrees of separation.
Yeah, but they didn't own.
Yeah, that's true. So I can understand and how even, you wouldn't
I mean, Carmack, you know, it's all... I'm not in the case, and I'm not hearing every piece of
what do you
testimony.
Do?
I got a real job. But, but you know, if we're going to sit here and play armchair lawyers and just kind of throw our opinions around, my opinion is that... So... Carmack said he pitched it to ZeniMax and they turned him down. And his company, ID, I mean, he was in the same scenario where Palmer Luckey was, right? Like, Carmack is a storied developer. And when he was in his 20s, I think even teens, he was making crazy-ass good games, like through shareware and stuff. Yeah. And he's been bought and then rebought several times. I think he knows about company time versus personal time and how to keep his IP and his own work separate from company work. Mm-hmm. So that's just my gut feeling going into this. Like, if he says he didn't do it on company time, I believe him.
I mean, he kind of has to say that right
now. No, I'm sure he's going to have to. Yes, he has to say that, unless he wants to lose millions of dollars for his parent company. But I think he knows the deal. I mean, he's a smart guy. Yeah. He's been doing this stuff for a long time, and he's been bought before. His technology's been bought. And,
yeah, I mean, to Sean's earlier point, how much work Palmer Luckey had done before Carmack was even involved in this project? Like, I think he had already had a prototype.
He did. Done. I mean, Carmack asked him for the prototype. Right, I don't know how they actually met up initially, but yeah. Palmer definitely did work. Like, there's no question. I mean, how much he does now
he's
is
just a puppet.
But it'll be...
I do like to think that he wore this Hawaiian suit that he wore to the Game of Thrones premiere. Look it up. It's amazing.
Also, interesting side note. So, for those who don't know, John Carmack was a big developer in Doom. Like, that's probably his most famous game. And it's funny to think how he's been through all these companies. And I don't know if he's ever had a game at that height. I don't think he was involved in Quake. But anyway, another famous Doom creator is John Romero. And I was listening to a podcast. Apparently, he lives with his wife. And Brenda Romero, his wife, was also a games developer. They both just live in Ireland. They went to Ireland because her family is Irish, and they fell in love with it. So they just moved to Ireland, and they made some Facebook game that made them a lot of money, and that's what they're doing right now. It's weird to see these like legendary developers, and some are doing more stuff, and now others are just like, we're just going to do whatever we want.
Gonna but kick it.
Like I said, more news about this is set to come out, so I was just prepping all our listeners for the future to come. Another thing I want to talk about, I mean, I think I actually already talked about this topic, but I think it's different now because he
never
is president.
We never talk about the same
topics. Never. Trump is going to be given the POTUS Twitter account, Twitter handle.
Oh, really?
Which typically, that's presidents. Well, when I say typically, Obama was the first one to have one. So that's what presidents use, but he's chosen to use his original handle, which makes total sense because I don't think anyone's going to check.
Probably
the POTUS
got more
one.
Followers, right?
Way more followers, and he'll be able to keep them afterwards. But it's funny to think somebody was making this point. How is that Twitter handle even going to work? Because, you know, even if you set Trump aside, say it was just an average Republican candidate, the followers of Obama are now going to be followers of that Republican candidate. Yeah. And I would think the Venn diagram, the center of the Venn diagram, isn't that large between those two groups. So it'd be interesting to see how this Twitter handle. Yeah, I'm sure that's a lot of, I don't know who, what regular people follow it, but I don't know. The bigger story is how Trump is using Twitter effectively, and people are at least listening to it, but I've already talked about that. So
effectively for what, though? Effectively for his own popularity, for him to stay as a news item? Sure, yes, I agree with that. Effectively for diplomacy, I disagree with that completely.
I think
effectively for running this country, that's very scary to me. I think
terms of his power, it's effective in that he's able to keep people on his toes, which is his whole shtick and his whole thing. Whether or not it's good for the country is definitely a separate thing, but he's shown himself to be a type who wants to exert his power. Like, Obama seemed like a softer person. Most presidents seem softer than Trump. And I feel like Twitter seems like his big stick. And I feel like he's used that to emphasize what he wants to do better than any press item could. And that's what I mean by effective. Whether it's good or not is a whole different topic. But
I don't even understand how it's legal, right?
Yeah.
He's
the president.
No, but look at this. So I know he's not president yet. He'll be president tomorrow, but he's not president yet. So you can say it wasn't illegal. But when he's president, if he tweets at whatever, Lockheed Martin or some other company, and their stock goes down, right? What's to keep him from saying, hey, Don Jr. and whatever his other son is, Eric or something, hey, I'm going to tweet at this company tomorrow. Like, that's called insider trading and stock market manipulation. Mm-hmm. And he's doing that consistently. He's done it 3 times already before he's even sworn in as president. I think it's a serious, serious problem.
And I think this is going to be the story of his presidency, where there's something he's doing that either isn't legal or at least isn't historically done, and he's going to say, and it's probably going to work, I'm president, so this is how it's going to happen. You think about how many of his business properties he hasn't separated himself from, right? And he's done this BS attempt at it, but he's not all the rules apply to him, not just because he's Trump, but because he's going to be president. Mm. And that's, anyway, enough of that negativity. I guess, well, I don't know if this is a positive or a negative story, but it's interesting. And I don't know if you did, but I didn't expect this at all. So President Obama, you know, they're at the end of the presidency, presidents typically pardon people. And one of the people he shortened the sentence of, he shortened it by a significant amount, is Chelsea Manning.
Yeah, he sent that to me as a DM a couple days ago.
He's like, yo, Chelsea's getting out of prison. Yeah. So he reduced her sentence from 35 years, which I believe is the biggest sentence ever given out for that type of crime, where it's leaking secrets. And so he reduced it from 35 years to 7, which effectively means she's going to get out of prison in the middle of this year.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were asking, like, release Chelsea Manning. Other people were saying pardon Edward Snowden. I don't know. I didn't expect him to give clemency to Chelsea Manning. I'm not actually sure. So for those who don't remember, Chelsea Manning, I think, she went through a gender transition. She was originally Bradley Manning, so you might be able to find more information if you Google that. But when he was working with the military, he leaked some top secret information, a lot of, not news, cables, and also a clip of a helicopter attack that ended up killing two Reuters journalists, among other civilians. He leaked that to WikiLeaks, which kind of boosted WikiLeaks' fame.
Yeah, it was one of the first big internationally known leaks to get on WikiLeaks, and kind of made them a household name. I get the temptation to lump Chelsea Manning and Eric Snowden in the same camp Edward Snowden in the same camp, because yes, they both were, they leaked information, and you could argue, were they whistleblowers or not, and blah, blah, blah. But Chelsea Manning admitted in a court of law that what she did, well, she admitted that she did these things in a court of law, and she's been in jail for 7 years now. Eric Snowden fled the country. Edward Snowden fled the country.
Let's just choose other E names.
E Snowden fled the country.
E Honda
fled the country. So Snowden fled the country and distributed his content. I could argue, like, okay, maybe it's good that he didn't give everything to WikiLeaks, and he and most of this quote unquote juicy stuff he gave to journalists, which I appreciate that to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's been living, I'm not saying he's been living in luxury. I don't know his living conditions, but he chose not to go through the court systems, whereas Chelsea Manning definitely did. And that's why she has the opportunity to have her sentence commuted by the president, because she's actually been in jail. On top of that, this is what I've heard. I haven't done independent research to check it out. But I've heard, and this came out of Obama's camp, they said that 7 years is roughly the average for leaking secrets anyway.
Okay.
And on top of that, she's been on suicide watch several times. And so it's not unusual for somebody who is having health conditions or life-threatening episodes, in this case, psychologically life-threatening episodes, to have their sentence commuted or released.
Huh. But would there be a transfer to, like, a mental institution or something? Or, I mean, I assume you don't just get
well,
off.
Well, I mean, it's less usual for the psychological condition of it. It is more common for, like, a physical health or physical ailment. Like, if somebody has terminal cancer or something like
yeah,
that. It's very
sense.
Common for them to be released relatively early, or a life sentence converted to time served, that sort of thing. But the two things coming together, the fact that several professionals feel like her life is at risk from herself if she stays in prison because of depression and that sort of thing. And then on top of that, she's served 7 years, which is, according to their camp, the average for this type of offense. I think it makes sense to let her go.
Do you think so? So you made the exact point where the reason why you would defend her actions is the idea is maybe she's a whistleblower. She was, yes, they were top secret. It was top secret information, but it was more disseminating information that could possibly be used to better the public to better understand what's actually going on. And it showed that, you know, the government had been under reporting civilian casualties and things like
right.
that. So in general, so are you a fan of this? Setting aside the physical ailments, all that kind of stuff, do you think that's the kind of thing that deserves some kind of whistleblower status as opposed to...
I don't know if it's retroactively giving her whistleblower status, but it's just not abusing power to give her the maximum sentence. Her sentence has now been commuted to what seems to be normal, and she has served time. She did admit fault, and her life is probably going to be in danger if she stays in prison. Will she ever leak secrets again? It's not like she had any technical prowess. It was the circumstances of her job at the time. She's clearly not going to be given that type of security clearance again. So I don't think she's a future threat to the national security of this country, and she is clearly a threat to herself as long as she stays in prison. I think it's the humane thing to let her out. You know, I like to think of myself as chaotic good, but every time I take a quiz, I come down as lawful good, and this is in keeping with the law. Right.
Oh, I don't know why I thought you were going to say something really negative.
Like, I'm not trying to say, oh, she fucked us over, let's hang her up. I'm like, we're following the law. The law says she broke it. She broke this law. She went to jail. She served time, which is similar to other people who broke this law. She's in danger of harming herself. The humane, the good thing to do is to let her out. She's not going to hurt this country again.
Well, that'd be funny if they put her on a list, but like, oh, they only wrote down Bradley Manning can't have access to her. It's like, damn it. I don't know why we have these stupid lists. You think they'd keep updating it. But yeah, it's interesting to see that happen. I think your reasoning makes sense. I still found it a little unusual, especially because I think a lot of that shone negatively on Obama. at the time. So I was surprised that he ended up doing that. But your points, I didn't actually realize it was more to kind of make it similar to what people had previously gotten.
Like I said, I haven't independently corroborated that.
Yeah.
But that's what newscast said, that Obama's camp said this is the norm for this type of offense.
That sounds reasonable, because I don't see any other reason why. I mean, I don't think he has any particular affinity to her. Maybe he did secretly, where he had to publicly show that he was against this, but it was something that he was positive towards. I don't know, but it's interesting, especially because now so many of our secrets. I mean, secrets have been leaked for decades, forever.
It's just the scale
exactly.
And the speed at which things can be shared and leaked because of digital technologies, right? Instead of me sneaking a file out, like a literal piece of paper in a manila folder, and doing this, you know, to do what Chelsea Manning did, let alone Edward Snowden did, you know, you'd literally have to carry out boxes of stuff,
files,
every day you went to work. You'd just be like, all right, I'm just
going
taking
home,
this to my file car.
You see that he's like making copies at FedEx, and they're like, man, you've been here for hours. Like, I got a lot of shit to mail, because he just mails out all the packets to the whole world.
You know, it would take literally years.
Yes, exactly.
It would take him years of obvious, like, box carrying to take this stuff out, or, you know, a few months of downloading stuff to a zip drive and sending it to some people around the world.
And especially with WikiLeaks, you're getting the actual files. Typically, if it goes through a press outlet, like Snowden did and other people do, press outlets will redact certain things, or they'll decide what to release. This is literally, you're just getting a dump of everything. Yeah. And I don't know, it's interesting.
All right, so let's move on to the change up for this episode. Brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to the Commentus website and clicking on the banner. Change up for this week is, what are you playing currently?
I know what Rob's playing.
What am I playing?
Firewatch.
Finally. One of the
best. Are you watching some fires?
Yeah, one of the top games. I have not seen a fire yet in Firewatch.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't gotten very far, have you?
Just watching.
I haven't. I played through the first day. I will say, I very much like the art style. I like the narrative. I like the voice acting and the relationship that develops between the two main characters.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the experience of emotionally. Man, that shit is heavy in the beginning.
Did you get to the cow level?
No, man. I haven't got to the cow level.
You have to get the power-ups. Did you get to the power-ups?
No.
That actually makes a really big difference.
Makes you watch fire.
Once you get the speed upgrade, world? And yeah, you're probably still at level 4.
If you see a pipe, climb into it. Yeah, just saying.
So yeah, I played through the first
Mushroom Kingdom.
The first day. I think you said, what, five days-ish, right?
I think, I mean, it's not day 5, but yeah, there's like 5 or 6.
Oh yeah, it skips time.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're there for weeks over the summer.
Yeah, so far I like it. I have not returned only because of lack of time, not because of enthusiasm for the game. So it's definitely something I'm gonna try to finish over the next couple weeks.
I mean,
the voice acting, really great. It's a rich story. I mean, right away you feel for the characters and an affinity, because very quickly they show you kind of like how this guy becomes
where he is.
He takes this summer job as a person as a ranger, as a Firewatch, and
which is very isolating.
Yeah, and there's some very heartbreaking things, the way they get this across. It's not heavy-handed or anything. It's just like, oh, here's a guy, he meets this great girl, it's awesome, and then they're in a relationship, and before you know it, you know, life happens, and within what, 10-15 minutes, you're like,
if that,
it's like a roller coaster. The only thing I can think about that does something that well, like that heartfelt in that short amount of time, is the is the montage in Up.
When, that's exactly what Sean said. And it, you know, so what's interesting about the part, first of all, it's all text, the intro. The whole game is actually a text adventure. Mm-hmm. But so the intro is all text. And see, this is the thing that makes me think, like, the quality of writing, especially, so for those who don't know, I think it's the people who made, like, Minerva's Den and Gone Home. So these are established people, but it's a small team. It's not, like, 100 people, but it amazes me when you see the quality of writing and voice acting that can come out of this many people and you compare it to, and I don't get me wrong, like Assassin's Creed is supposed to be a blockbuster game, so it's a little different, but this is the kind of thing where whenever I hear people say like the story in a video game is good, I'm immediately skeptical, because I've always like movies, like film and television and books too, are on a completely different level typically. Like the standard is just different. These are the type of games that make me think like this, I could see this as a movie. Like the voice acting, it was totally believable. The writing was really great. And I hope to see more and more of this, but it's cool to see such a small team. Like these are good writers, and it's not like the voice actors are like, I was gonna say Nathan Hale, Jennifer Hale and Nolan North. Like, I don't know who they are, but I'm Eric sure they're just Snowden. Very good people.
That's funny. Yeah, enjoying it so far though. Looking forward to playing it.
I've been playing, sometime over the last year, I don't know how this exactly happened, but my iPad Pro has really became my main gaming machine. And so, you know, that obviously limits the types of games I can play, but I've been playing Star Wars Force, what is it called? Star Wars Force something.
Awakens.
Force Arena. Force Arena. So it's a MOBA. It's an online mobile MOBA, and say that five times fast. And I know that this has been a genre for a little while now, like some of the other games, and I've downloaded them, I've just never played them, I never got around to playing them because I was always skeptical of a MOBA on a mobile device. Yeah. But like Dawn of Titans and Vainglory, these are some of the more popular ones. And I've just never tried them. I think Witcher had one as well. I guess it's still running. And I did try the Witcher one, and I didn't really love it. So,
are you a Witcher?
Sorry. So, but this is, I'm not saying it's amazing gameplay or anything like that, but it's been fun. It's been keeping my attention for about a week now.
Tens, shit.
There's another iPad game you're playing at work.
Oh, Pokemon?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pokemon
card
game.
Not just any
game.
Pokemon.
Cards.
What?
Yeah. Pokemon card game. Yeah.
Pokemon cards.
You know what I love about this? So Steve Jobs was notoriously like anti-games on iOS devices. He didn't believe in the strength of them. And then you think of like the iPad. It's called the Pro. The idea is productivity. And just as playing more games on it. It always comes back. It's just to like stab Steve Jobs. Like, no, we're all playing fucking Clash of Clans. So I have been playing a certain PS4 game. Or it's actually a set of games. Oh, a remaster.
Nice. Yeah.
So Josiah graciously,
Eric Snowden.
Eric Snowden gave me the Nathan Drake collection, which is Uncharted 1-3, and those are a lot of fun.
Oh,
they're actually
you started them?
Yeah, actually they're pretty short.
He's playing all three at the same time.
Yeah,
simultaneously.
I already beat the first one. It's actually really not long. Like,
oh,
I did it in like two sittings. It's like 6 hours long. So I was surprised how short it was, but it was still good. Like
Does it have a good story?
So the voice acting in that is great. Nolan North does a really good job. Yeah, exactly. No, it's really, and actually he's by far the best guy. It's clearly trying to be an action movie, and the story, I will say, it's like an action movie. It's simple enough to keep you interested. It doesn't really go. I mean, I don't know if you want me to give away, but there are aliens.
What?
Well,
what?
There aren't aliens, but dude, it's like there are non-human creatures. I'm like, somehow that always happens.
Oh,
but
man.
It's a lot of fun. And actually, so I played the PS3 version, and you can tell the difference. It's really nice to have it 60 frames. It's higher resolution. It's smoother. The PS4 controller is way better than the PS3 controller, but it's a really good collection, and it's
cool.
It's worth buying, and I'm having a lot of fun. So thanks, Josiah.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Like
I feel like it was worth the purchase.
Yeah,
it was definitely worth buying to hear you describe it that way.
So, speaking of video games.
Video games.
I think we should...
TLDR? Shit.
No. Let's... we were talking about some Sony systems and some iOS and some PC. Let's switch to a different wow. thing.
The console is just as bad as that segue. Yeah.
Damn, Rob's review. It's just a headline. It's his whole review.
That's my review.
So Nintendo had their official, I guess, Switch unveiling. Well, this is, I guess, it's not the unveiling, but this is their press conference where they really talked about the whole system. You got to see games. They explained more about the system. Press, people from the press and YouTubers obviously got to actually get hands-on time with it. So we know everything about the console. So I guess.
And then the YouTubers immediately got a cease and desist from Nintendo. And said, you have to give us some of that revenue. Yeah,
there was actually
some of that sweet
YouTube as they're
money.
Recording their clips, there's some guy in the background asking them for a percentage. Yeah, that's actually funny when I think about it. And I'm pretty sure they still have that program. But so I guess we'll start with explaining a bit about the Switch. I won't go into too much because honestly, there are other news outlets that are going to cover it in better detail. But so it is what you thought it was. So it's a mobile device and it can be docked. The device itself is a tablet. It's, I think, like a 6.3 inch screen diagonal. It's about, the screen size is a little bit bigger, I think, than the Wii U, but the device itself, the tablet piece, is definitely smaller than the Wii U and it's much sturdier. It's better, made out of better materials, but it is similar to the Wii U. It's a big thing. It's it's like a small tablet. It's imagine maybe like a iPad mini or something like that. So it's not like a Nintendo DS. There are a lot of attachments. So there are two Joy-Cons, which are two attachments that go on the side of the main tablet thing. And that's where you get the joysticks and you get all your face buttons. And one big thing is there's no D-pad anymore. There's actually two sets of face buttons. And one set of face buttons is supposed to be like the D-pad, but face buttons are not like a D-pad. They just feel different.
Right.
The reason why they have the Joy-Cons is the whole idea is you're supposed to take the two Joy-Con controllers off and essentially play two-player games or multiplayer games with each Joy-Con. There's a lot of different setups, but that's the basic idea. And they're launching with, in my opinion, very few games, which I think could be a problem, but we'll have to see. So now they're launching with Just Dance 2017.
Woo. Yeah. I'm all in. Done.
They're launching with the new Zelda game. So that is a big deal. Zelda is the big one, and it's supposed to be really good. But the only thing is you can also get it on Wii U. But either way, that's their star game. Another game that's coming out is 1-2 Switch. So this is the one we have to talk about. So every time... So Nintendo is still kind of banking on these gimmick ideas. Ever since the Wii, I guess. They've always had some kind of gimmick. Yeah, the Wii.
Since the... DS, dual screen.
Sure. Oh, wait. The DS came out before the Wii. You're right. Right. Yeah. And actually, it's funny. In the press conference, they tried to explain what was unique about each system. So, like, the Wii, they said motion controls. Wii U, they had both. And when they referenced the GameCube, they said it had a handle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You could carry it, the first console.
But anyway, so they're really leaning hard into another gimmick, which we'll get into, which I think is problematic. But every time they have a gimmick, they always have some game that's supposed to show how you can use this gimmick.
Right.
So on the Wii U, it was Wii Sports. On the Wii U, it was Nintendo Land. And this is 1-2 Switch. So here's the funny thing.
You could blow on the Wii U controller. That was the thing. Blow on it? Yeah. There was a thing in Mario where in order to get them to like float up,
right,
you had to blow on the gamepad. The mic?
Oh man. So there's a lot of things to unpack. So this has this HD rumble, which we'll get into after. There's a lot of stuff to unpack, but I think one thing is going to be this whole discussion, whereas there's some interesting things, but there's a lot of things that Nintendo fucked up on. So this is a good example
games?
Of this. 1-2 Switch. Wii Sports was a lot of fun. Sure, it was short-lived. Nintendo Land was still, it wasn't as good as Wii Sports, but it was still fun. Like, there were cool things. The way 1-2 Switch works is it's a completely audio auditory game. The whole idea, and they said this in the conference, you're supposed to look into the eyes of the person you're playing against. So it's all multiplayer games. But the way it works, like they showed a ping pong game, on the screen, there's not actually ping pong. There's some video playing, but it doesn't actually correspond to what's happening. What you do is you hear the sound of the ping pong ball coming, and you swing your individual Joy-Con to time it. So you're literally not actually playing a video game. It's an auditory game. And it's funny too, because their whole point was they want you to look into your eyes and you look into each other's eyes. So you're supposed to like look into their face and kind of like hit it back and forth. But it's funny, I saw a video of people playing it and people are listening. So they're just looking out into space. So they're doing the opposite of looking out, because they're like trying to hear as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then another thing related to that. So a lot of them,
I was just trying to psych you out. I just make faces at you.
Yeah. That's probably what it is. Which some of these things sound, I mean, yeah, they could be kind of fun, but I don't know how much I'm going to play that. They showed four games. They listed six games. Hopefully there are more than six games.
That's such a small.
We should say like six mini games, which I would assume they've got more. I mean, if you think about every Mario Party, how many games they create for that. So this gets into so many things. I mean, they marketed this in an interesting way, and they talked a lot about, or not talked, but they showed a lot of millennials, and they talked about bringing it to parties. But if you have an auditory game, how are you going to play an auditory game in a loud party? I mean, unless everybody gets quiet.
Josiah's favorite part of the whole promo video was when the chick goes over to the rooftop party with
Switch,
because that's a cool thing.
I'm
gonna do that. Just gonna climb onto roofs and bring my Switch.
Well, it's not, it doesn't have a handle. I can bring my GameCube.
Snap.
Can't bring my Switch.
Well, snap. Switch, yeah. I'm not. Like, I don't see this whole party aspect. I've actually really liked the idea, and I feel like they started with the Wii, where they really went for this idea that we're going to make games, but we're also going to make games that everybody wants to play. That was the whole point of the Wii.
Wii Sports,
I like that idea.
Phenomenal.
But none of this actually works, like, with Switch. I don't see how people are going to want to play these games at parties. I get it's a mobile thing. So, anyway, that was the thing that showed off the gimmick. Another thing they pointed out was the HD Rumble, which I've heard people say, while it's a really shitty, silly name, it does actually work in that. So the point, they said there was a mini game where you're supposed to like guess how many ice cubes are in a glass, and the Joy-Con is considered the glass. And they said you can actually, I don't know how, but you can actually feel the difference and you know how many things are in it. So I don't know. I guess that's cool. I don't know.
They're all cool gimmicks, right? Like, to your point. I mean, like, Wii Sports stuck around for a long time.
Wii was crazy. That was a phenomenon.
But, like, everyone and their mom played, and their grandma played Wii Sports.
Yeah, like, I remember going to, like, I was in college at the time, and I remember going to parties where people played that. Because people play Wii Tennis and, like, take a shot or something.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that was another thing. They heavily implied the idea that some of these games, you're going to be taking shots. Like, they want them as drinking games. Like, it's this whole party atmosphere. And while there's some part of me that likes this idea that they're really trying to go for, you know, get everybody to play, not just hardcore, like, I'm the guy who plays or the girl who plays The Witcher and Doom. Mm-hmm. But I don't see this actually working. Like, that's what mobile games are.
Yeah.
So, okay, there's so many things to unpack. So I guess continuing on the games itself, I don't think there's a huge lineup. Now, they talked about how later in the year Splatoon 2 is going to come out. Splatoon 1 wasn't a big seller, although it's a very good game, so I guess it's a positive title to come out. I think it's
really
a good game.
I really like the idea of Splatoon, just this idea that you can have a competitive shooter that isn't about killing people.
Sure.
And
it's that, supposedly, you know, really fun, and even the single player was good.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's not, it doesn't seem like a system seller. No. Mario is, Zelda is clearly the system seller, but it's a specific game. It's an open world RPG, even though it's a wide variety of people are going to play it. It's not like everybody's going to want to play that. The other big game is Mario, and that's set for holiday 2017. Yeah. So that's a pretty long
way
off.
Here are the March 3rd launch titles, right? 1-2 Switch, Binding of Isaac, which has been out for,
a long
for
time.
How long?
Yeah.
Just Dance 2017, Legends of Zelda, Skylanders, which is actually a big seller.
Yeah.
And Super Bomberman.
Yeah, and I heard the Super Bomberman didn't look great when they played it. I mean, it's interesting because there hasn't been a Bomberman proper Bomberman game. I don't think in a while.
Super Bomberman is going to bomb? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
He's going to... No?
Was this like Eric Snowden? You just couldn't get that one out.
So here's what was disappointing for me. Right? It's like my girlfriend loves Mario Kart.
Rob has a girlfriend.
Yes, thank you. Loves Mario Kart. And like it's something we actually play with like her sister, her sister's boyfriend. Like we play as a group quite a bit, right?
Her sister has a boyfriend.
Oh my God, you guys are the worst. So the only way...
Shake your cootie shots, Josiah. Sorry, keep going. Keep going.
I'm done. This is why I don't want to do this every week. So the only way I would even consider getting this console is A, if it was cheaper than it is, which we didn't go over yet, and B, if the typical games that you saw, you know, like the games you expect, Mario Party, Mario Kart, like those types of games were on here, right? And the only Mario Kart that they talked about was like 8 remastered, redone?
I don't think it's remastered. It's just
they're adding like DLC to it, essentially.
Well, and they're then, putting in the DLC and then they're adding like
another. And, but it's Mario Kart. They're just making the graphics the same.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. Like looking at, and you know, there's no like Donkey Kong game, I don't think, right, that they talked about.
There's
New Donk City.
There's plenty of donk for everybody.
There's no...
That sounds so terrible, right? I thought it was a joke. There's plenty of donk for everybody.
A lot of people wanted Pokemon on Switch because it's sort of a handheld, right? Which yeah. I think there was some rumor that there's a Pokemon, but it's going to be like one Pokemon of those like stars. Spin-off thing. Like, I don't think it's going to be an actual
Which would be okay. Pokemon Apparently, game. I didn't realize this.
Have you played Pokemon Snap?
No, so Pokemon Stadium was one of the best-selling games of... on the N64. I didn't actually know that. And
StarCraft
sold.
StarCraft had such a good user interface.
I think Pokemon Snap even sold well. So yeah. This is the point. So in my opinion, Nintendo for many years now has gotten to the point where they're more niche and they're not going to compete with Microsoft and Sony. Microsoft and Sony are doing their own thing. To me, this is a question of, you know, are families going to buy this thing, and are people who play video games, is this going to be their second machine? And I think that there are ways they could do it, and I don't think they have shown... There are ways you thought that could happen. So one thing, it feels like they're pitching this as a console and a mobile device. And considering that they stopped producing the Wii U, and the 3DS is actually really difficult to find. This is a real thing. They had a fire sale for Black Friday. And they put it at $99, and now it's actually really, really hard to find 3DSs. It makes it feel like what they're doing right now is they're putting both their mobile and console divisions or whatever into one system. So this is a very big console for them. Now they're making money in mobile, so that is one way they're diversifying their income, and I think that can help. But yeah. I mean the DS, even just the 3DS, sold like 60 million units. That's not small. Like, even though the Wii U failed, they still had other money coming in. So this is a very big console for them, in my opinion. I mean, I guess they could just say if the Switch doesn't sell, oh well, we're still making 3DSs. Like, maybe they'll just backtrack on it. But I think this is a very big console for them. And Nintendo has enough games, if you include the 3DS and the regular just Nintendo games, that they could make a really unique system that you can't get their games anywhere else. You said Donkey Kong. Think about Donkey Kong, Star Fox, Pokemon. Metroid, Pokemon, Animal Crossing. You have Mario games spread out all over the place. And there are a lot of games that are on the 3DS that are just specific, like Yo-Kai Watch, Monster Hunter. They're like anime-like games, like Phoenix Wright, the 999 series, a lot of specific games. And I also think they could capture, there's a lot of pixel art games that are coming out on Steam. And I believe the reason why they put it out on Steam is just because there's a lower barrier to entry. It's just easy to put on Steam. You don't have to go through all the certification process. A lot of that stuff would fit with Nintendo's aesthetic. Which is, by the way, one of the reasons why Shovel Knight is coming to the Nintendo Switch, which I think it's a really great game, so I'm happy about that. But it would fit their aesthetic, it wouldn't require a lot of power, and it would work perfectly. I don't know if Nintendo is really doing any of this stuff. But there are a couple games coming out.
They need new games, like Binding of Isaac and Shovel Knight. And, you know, these games have been out for, like, who hasn't played it?
Skyrim's coming out.
Skyrim's coming out. Yeah, 6 years yeah, ago. Yeah,
exactly. And so, but I think I mean new versions, and they showed off
a cartoon version of Skyrim, like legit, like full cartoon version of Skyrim.
It's a Mario Dragonborn.
Phosphorus Doe.
You're just flipping through your like character creation at the beginning, and Mario is the last one, and then you can be like Samus. You're just like, oh, okay, well, this makes sense. But there are enough games, and I think they will come out. They mentioned in their they didn't say any dates, but the next Xenoblade. Which these are games that are very, they're not
very
Nintendo games.
Japanese,
yeah. So JRPGs, but like people, I think it would work on this system.
Why is this coming out now? Like, why not wait? Till
I don't
you
know.
Have
I agree with that.
Launch lineup that's two or three times what it is, and you have some of these the other big titles ready
well,
to go.
I mean, like, if they had to end development on the Wii U, like it was losing them money, so they just said we're done with it, and it sounds like they might be winding down their production of 3DSs. I'm not sure about that, but
it sounds like
they have to have a console. That's their identity. They, according to their own mission statement, they need to have a console out there because they're not ready to make a switch to mobile devices and other platforms.
Damn it, I missed it.
But you know, so if they're not going to be selling any consoles, then yeah, you might as well ship it now, right? You don't
it
have
just,
to,
I don't
because
know.
It's because they're placing it as a secondary device. They don't necessarily need to go toe to toe with anybody else and get into the holiday market. The pitfall or the hole in that argument, though, and we kind of dance around this, is the cost. It's $300.
Yeah.
I can buy a PlayStation 4 Slim or an Xbox One S for cheaper than that.
Like there are other things too that just
cheaper.
Like I don't think there's
okay. Well,
like Netflix isn't gonna have an app on there at least at launch, which seems really like you just need to do that now.
But I don't see these are the things that I don't think matter as much as people are making out to be. So for example, you said you can get a PS4 or an Xbox One for I guess cheaper. I thought it was $299.
I'll look up
but
the price.
Either way, cheaper or the same price.
Yeah.
My thinking is, look, the PS4 and Xbox One have been out for a while. People who wanted those consoles probably bought it. It's not like nobody's buying them anymore, but they probably already bought that system. Nintendo, I still see, and I don't know, they probably don't see it this way because I don't think they want to see it this way, but I still feel like this is like a secondary console. It's like, well, to me, it's literally, do you want to play Nintendo games? This is how you play Nintendo games. And I will say that a Nintendo is probably, I mean, this is a big thing to say, but I was probably the greatest developer of all time. Like they are so consistent.
Yeah.
I can't believe how they've found ways to make Mario new.
Like the only way I would consider,
and by the way, I'll say Super Mario Odyssey looks pretty cool to me. There's some really weird stuff, but it looks cool.
Like
it looks
maybe
same
if,
Zelda.
If they consolidated all of their IP to this device, so all of the 3DS games and you know typically handheld.
And make sure developers realize that because there are third-party developers. They're just not like it's not EA, it's not Ubisoft.
But like
if I
could play, you know, my Pokemon games and whatever handheld games that I play, and also Mario Kart, Mario Party, like all that stuff, and I only need one device, then I could start seeing
totally
the point behind this. Can I just bring up one thing though?
What?
Just one thing, the controller.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why
so,
is it?
We'll get into the controller. So here's the problem, right? Like you're intimating, Rob, that if they had all the mobile stuff from the 3DS and console stuff, you could play it. But it says it's going to be what 2.5 to 6 hours worth of game time on that.
Yeah,
gameplay depending on the game. And then on top of that, you started talking about the controllers. The controllers are an ergonomic nightmare. As far as the placement of the analog stick,
so that's what I want to talk
the
about.
The size of the controller, like you know, it's
the
exact the opposite
of
the original Xbox. The Xbox had like giganto controllers. This one is like mini tiny controllers. I don't understand it. So it's not going to be easy to play it because it's going to hurt your hands.
Well, I've actually so one thing about that, I thought that too, and we I think we talked about it earlier. Apparently, it's not nearly. Apparently it's not that bad, except which we'll get into is the joystick.
I want somebody
that,
to play
totally.
It for 2 hours and tell me how their
well,
hands feel.
So I think a lot of people, a lot of journalists, at least when I read when the Switch was actually announced, people that's initially immediately what they were saying. Two things with that, they said when they actually had it in their hand, it wasn't that bad. Another thing they did to try and mitigate that, the Nintendo comes with a number of accessories. One of them is I don't even know the name. There's literally tons of accessories. Yeah. And it's a little a slip-on thing that you put. So basically, the Joy-Con controllers are on rails, and they click into the tablet on rails. And so attachment to that rail is a thing that extends it out a bit to make it a little bit easier to control. Yeah. It's still, there are clearly fundamental issues with
it. Going back to my current use case for the Wii, right? It's everybody playing Mario Kart, and right now everybody uses the Wiimotes, right? Which is probably, it's around the same size as these things, right? Ish.
No, the Wiimote? The Wiimote is bigger. The Joy-Con is really small.
Really?
Yeah. The Joy-Cons are like fit in the palm of your hand. Like, oh, wow. They're very small. All right,
either way, so that's...
Think about the width of an iPad.
They're smaller than my protein bars, Rob.
Smaller than your protein bars. Yeah.
That's our unit of measurement from now on.
But anyway. So Josiah's jacked for all of those who have not seen him. He mounts so much protein bars. So the use case is...
He lists.
You know, everybody has a Wiimote or whatever.
The Joy-Con.
Is that what one of them is?
Yes.
And then that's the singular?
Yes. Because they say pass the Joy. That's the whole gimmick. Right,
isn't Joy the drug in that We Happy People, We Happy Few game?
Oh, anyway, I don't
know. So the problem is the left and right are different, right?
Yep.
Like they're not mirror images of each other. And the right side... The joystick placement, which doesn't make any sense because there's a button below it, so I don't know why they just switches. But the joystick's near. God, this is going to be a thing now. The joystick's near the middle of the controller, which seems very
stupid.
Awkward.
Yes, stupid.
Yes,
it's shit.
And this isn't one of those things where maybe when you try it, it's better. Every single journalist I read about, they specifically said that. It's like, well, and people were joking. It's like, so the one thing they're doing a skew that it's all black controllers or gray controllers. And they do another skew where you get two colored controllers. One's red, one's blue. And somebody made the joke. It's like, yeah, if kids get it, they're going to be fighting over the colored controllers. Not because of the colors, because one is a good controller and one is the shitty one.
Well, it's funny because you can, so there's also all these different pricing tiers, right? You can get both the Joy-Con controllers together. You can get them individually, left or right. So you're going to have households where it's just like five left controllers and a right
and
controller.
So pricing is a big thing too. So there's $300 for the console, but then an extra dock, which my understanding is there is zero extra horsepower in the dock. They've said maybe what they do is when you're connected to power and in the dock. So, I should mention it's a 720p screen. Games that are docked typically are higher res. Like some games will run 1080p. Zelda runs at 900p. So you'll see things like that. And my understanding is the way they do it is they just overclock or maybe they underclock it when it's in tablet mode. But anyway, my point is the dock, my understanding is it's just a dumb box. It has like an HDMI out or something and USB, but it's not really that important. It's $90 for the dock, which some people might, you know, want to have multiple TVs in their house. Then you talked about the Joy-Con controllers. Each Joy-Con controller individually is $50. Two of them together is $80. Now, if you consider each one a Wiimote, then $50 isn't crazy. Right. But there are going to be, it depends on the developers, there are going to be games that require two controllers. One of the games they showed off was called ARMS, and it was a game that specifically used the two Joy-Con controllers. But each player needs two controllers because you have one for each arm. If you play, like somebody Wiimotes. Made a joke, like if they, Bomberman is 8-player, you would have to get 16 Joy-Cons to have fucking Bomberman.
Wait, you have to use both controllers?
I don't know if you actually need both Joy-Cons, but to have a traditional controller, you need that.
Is there motion tracking on this?
Yes, it is. Understanding is it's basically a Wiimote. So I can understand there's a lot of tech in it, but still you have to figure this out. There's also an IR tracking, but the IR tracking is only on one of the Joy-Cons, and there's actually a 1-2 switch game called like Eat the Sandwich, and it uses the IR to sense your mouth chomping down, but only one controller does it. So in order to be a multiplayer game,
you have to play.
And then you hand it off to your other guy. So there's no staring. There's
no staring when I eat my sandwiches.
And so, by the way, I'll keep going. So Nintendo announced they're having an online portion, and I assume they're actually going to fix it. I don't know if they will, but it's going to be a paid service, which one of those things where it's disappointing you have to pay for it, but it's everybody does that.
But
now,
it's supposed to be like Gold or like PS Plus, right? Except the difference is you don't keep the fucking games.
Yeah, so they're putting out games. And by the way they had this set up was perfect initially. Their idea instead of, and part of it is to deal with the fact that they don't have a big library, but instead of giving out free games that like are current games, you get an NES or NES title. Which,
good idea.
SNES and NES, some of the greatest games of all time. It makes sense to open up that. But like Rob said, you only keep them for a month. Like, that's how I thought PS Plus was, but it wasn't. And I was so happy when I found out you actually get to keep those games. This is ridiculous. You only get it for a month. I mean, this is like how Nintendo, they still have the friend, the way you friend each other on the Nintendo system is this long friend number. And you're just like, how do you mess this up?
Like, if I wanted to play Splatoon online, do I have to pay for this service?
They haven't outlined all of it. I assume so, but they haven't outlined everything. They actually have a list on websites. I don't know it off the top of my head.
So
I would assume so.
I'm going to try to shut this down, okay? So I'm going to compare this to another mystery device, and then I will explain what this other mystery device is. So let's just go by specs.
If you compare this to Dreamcast,
so this other mystery device, $250. The Nintendo Switch, $300.
Yeah.
Okay. Other mystery device, 7-inch screen. Nintendo Switch, roughly 7-inch screen, running at 720p when it's mobile, right? And so I'm not exactly sure what the DPI is, but this other 7-inch screen, the DPI is roughly like 320-something, which is well over 1080p on a 7-inch screen, okay? And this other mystery device, it has up to about 9 hours of battery life. It's not, I'll be honest, it's not just a game device. So playing games, it might be shorter than 9 hours. But it's rated at 9 to 10 hours for use. The Nintendo Switch, two and a half to 6 hours for playing games, right? So this other thing, you can export it with a cable, HDMI cable. You can send it to a TV and stuff like that, and probably you could find a dock for it.
Do you need dongles for this?
You don't necessarily need dongles for this, but. The device I'm talking
about.
Wait.
We don't get to guess?
Sure. You want to talk? You want to guess? Guess.
iPad Mini.
No.
It's not an NVIDIA
iPad
Shield.
Mini was never that cheap.
Now? The first one now? Getting the first iPad Mini now.
But they don't sell
it. $299.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Air? What was 7 inch?
No, the Mini is the smaller one. The Nexus 7.
Exactly.
Is it?
The Nexus 7 nice. From fucking 2013. We're talking 4-year-old technology. Granted, you know, it's got an older Snapdragon, whatever, and all that stuff, but I'm sure you could get together very comparable specs without this Joy-Con bullshit and just tack on regular or modular or wireless, whatever you want to do to control it. But, you know, it's coming from this place of Nintendo doesn't want to lose money on their consoles. They've said this many, many times over several generations. And so they have underpowered, overpriced consoles, if you look at that ratio. Now, you could say it's not overpriced because you get a certain level of joy from the games, and it's the only place you can play this IP that they have a lockdown on. So, you know, value is a relative subjective thing. I get that. But if you look at pound for pound, the specs and what you're paying for, this is 4-year-old technology that you're paying for.
So to me, honestly, even more than the technology, it's that gimmick aspect. I mean, those are interconnected. The reason why it's this price is because they're adding the gimmick. I can understand the Joy-Con controllers. They probably aren't cheap to produce. They probably have a lot of like different sensors and things in them. So it's not like they're $10 to produce. Like, they're not cheap things.
Yeah,
so right. I can see how these kind of gimmicks increase the price. But to your point, it doesn't necessarily increase the value.
Yeah.
And I agree with you in that I kind of wish they didn't go for a gimmick every time and they just made... Honestly, even if it was an underpowered system that was cheaper or something like that, the quality of the games they make... one thing I love about Nintendo, and this is not like some me trying to be a hipster, they genuinely go for this idea where it's like, we want to make games that are fun. Graphics are important, but we're going to make fun games first and then think about other things. That's why they've never had the prettiest games ever, although their art design is ridiculous, so some of them are still legitimately beautiful.
Yeah.
But there, a lot of times they're still fun to play even today. These gimmicks, though, they spend so much money trying to do these things, and like you said, what's the point? 3 to 6 hours, which I think a DS is 4 to 6 hours. So I could see, look, this is good enough to play while I'm at home. Like I joked about playing in bed.
Yeah.
This is not, which by the way, this is what I'm about to say is a huge use case in Japan.
In airport yes. or airplane travel.
It's not too, and it's also too big to play on your commute to work,
yeah.
which handhelds are really big in Japan because a lot of people take the train. Console sales have been flagging for years, like seriously flagging in Japan, but handhelds have done well. And this is another situation where it's like, who's going to bring this on a train?
Yeah.
You would never want it. So I don't know. It's not really a mobile device.
People play VR on the train, Sean. I think you underestimate that.
Well, they did make those backpacks. But I get why they're going to the gimmicks because they're Nintendo and they're weird, but... Zelda, I don't think, as far as I know, even uses the gimmick. Because it has to be played on the Wii U as well. Yeah. So, and most of those games I play, like I played Splatoon I don't own a Wii U, so I was only able to play it in a store. And the thing that was most annoying was that I had to use the Wii U, like aiming with the gyroscope on the big pad. My understanding is outside the demo, you can just switch it to regular analog controls. And I'm like, I would do that in a second. Or you use a pro controller. And these gimmicks are the things that, like, I guess I appreciate that they're thinking outside the box, but there's not enough stuff that uses this. It's like, yeah. I appreciate like the Kinect too, yeah. yeah. But if you can't make anything for it,
and,
who
you
cares?
Know, I find parallel between what they're doing with what Apple has been doing, right? And so Apple has been successful in their consumer line of products for the last, 8-10 years, roughly. Even with MacBook Pros and stuff like that. But now they're getting to a point where they are, when you rest on your uniqueness, it's a big gamble is all I'm really getting at, right? And so Apple with the new MacBook Pro and that touch bar, a lot of people are panning it and saying, you know, it breaks the norms of just regular typing and computing. Why do we need this new shift? It's kind of like motion sensing and in the Wiimote and all that stuff. And so time will tell if it was a good gamble or not, or if it just becomes a footnote in the annals of technology. But, if you always rest your viability on this new thing, it at some point will start to bite you. And it will be very difficult to always innovate and hit a grand slam.
People better buy those coins.
So tens. That's what I heard. Tens. That's going to do it for this week's episode of The Unwind. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to us on the iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Store. You can find us on YouTube by searching for The Commentist. Please share us with your friends. You can leave us comments or submit questions and topics to us directly by going to theunwind.audio. Also, be sure to check out thecommentist.com where you can see all of our great shows such as
The Unwind, which
is Roll to Hit,
Bearded Vegans,
Sky on Fire. Do we know the other one? We have a new show that could be coming out soon.
Yeah.
We haven't announced it yet.
Yeah.
So,
it's going to be the new
stay
hotness.
Stay tuned. You're going to like it. I think it'll fit our geek culture pretty well.
Thanks. We'll see you next week.
Just buy a Nexus 7, man. Just done. Nexus 7.